Good afternoon, Sarah Gunn. How are you?
Hi, well, and you?
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe we can get one of the pharmaceutical companies to sponsor your sponsor.
That's my suggestion.
Yeah, 100%. Sarah, rubbish legislation. There has to be a better term for it, unless it's actually a technical term, which it could be.
Oh, there's always room.
All right, so who fights bad legislation or legislation that society would oppose on behalf of civil society? And maybe give us some examples.
Okay. I'm going to do a bit of a punt for the Institute of Race Relations, because we are an example of organization that will fight bad law and make representations against bad law and bad actions by government, essentially. And there are other organizations that do similar work, but we're the largest that does work in which we essentially promote classical liberalism. In case you didn't think there were any, we are one of them. And we certainly, basically we fight the battle of ideas. And the idea, and the reality is that we do whatever we can to promote classical liberalism and to oppose sort of something more right wing or something more left wing or whatever the current sort of focus is. And we do it essentially on behalf of whoever would agree with our basic views, because we know people in their individual capacities can't necessarily do so. And we provide in a way an avenue to do so. And recently it's become much more literal, than just a general figurative idea of promoting these ideas.
All right. So I'm going to ask you to just take a step back for anyone listening to us who, you know, classical liberalism, what's that?
Can you just do
some definitions for us?
Yeah, I mean, liberalism, the word has been trashed by the left in particular for decades. But it means, it basically focuses on the right of the individual. And we take the view that if you protect the rights of the individual and you protect the, and you encourage the freedoms of the individual, the freedoms and the rights of the group will follow. But if you aim your freedoms and your rights at groups, it doesn't necessarily mean that the individual be protected. So we look at basic things which are absolutely understandable. Free markets, freedom of speech, the right to a basic education, the right to own property. We look at issues like real economic empowerment as opposed to the empowerment of an elite few. Choice driven healthcare policing and education. And that gives you some idea of the sort of issues we look at. And what we've done, for example, is one of the things we do is we make representations to Parliament on any new law. So it could be the National Health Insurance, and our recent biggie was the expropriation without compensation. And what we did is we opened up to the public an invitation to take our representation and take it as their own and submit and complete their name, and it would be submitted. And as a result, the Institute was responsible for essentially 70,000 written representations being sent to Parliament. And that's sort of part of what we're really trying to do is not just act as a voice for people, but really act as a vehicle to allow people to be heard.
So how do you fight this? I mean, you know, do you actually put together cases? I mean, would you be prepared to legislate on behalf of civil society?
Well, what we do, we almost never fight legal cases. We don't take on work that goes to court. What we do is usually when in areas we criticize, we will provide an alternative. So the creation of policy and sometimes draft proposed legislation is very much within our remit. And we've got some superb people doing it, but you have to have people who are very knowledgeable to deal with NHI in detail, to deal with expropriation expropriation without compensation in detail. These are the sort of issues where what we do is a combination of the very detailed representations to government and media articles, interviews, on kind of any subject and way beyond those sorts of topics. I mean, we could do, someone could ask us for an interview on BDS's opposition to CBC's purchase of Clover, or a comment on the an alleged racial incident at school. It can be anything that touches on either the promotion or the denial of liberalism, the rights and freedoms that we espouse.
By the way, what would you say about BDS and this, you know, possibly scuppering this Clover deal?
Yeah. Well, this afternoon, having read BDS's comment, I wrote an article back, a response. I didn't canvass everything because I don't know the details of everything. But what I did was I canvassed, for example, I set out the facts regarding the Janine quote unquote massacre, because I've done quite a lot of work on it recently, and I'm looking at issues where facts are entirely distorted to misrepresent Israel. And the Institute, you know, believes in supporting Israel because it is the only democracy in the Middle East. Whatever its faults are, we believe it's been very badly represented, and we feel quite strongly about that.
Absolutely fascinating. Sorry, I've got to let you go, but I just want to ask you all of this takes money. Mm. Who funds you?
Okay.
The Institute of Race Relations.
Yeah, we have a few sort of institutional funders like Anglo Chairman's Fund, Oppenheimer Fund, those sorts of institutions. We're relying less and less on corporate funding in that sense, but what we do provide through our Center for Risk Analysis is scenarios and assessments of particularly the economic and political situation for companies. They also get entitled to all our literature, which we put out fairly regularly. And so that acts as an income stream. And then recently what we've done is encouraged individuals, ordinary people, to become members. I think the average cost is about $80 a month, whatever people can afford. And they will get some of our literature, etc., but also our campaigns like NHI and EWC and whatever we may be working on, we'll open that up. So we're starting to get, it's quite incredible because we've only been doing it for February, probably for about 3 or 4 months. And we have over 5,000 people signed up.
Incredible.
And I think it's because we speak to people's common sense and desperate concerns,
yes,
about where this country's headed.
Yes, it's interesting. I'm actually on your website now, and it says, if you want to go and check it out, it's IRR, that's Institute of Race Relations, IRR.org.za. And, one of the things is leave South Africa pensions alone. You know, there's
Absolutely.
Things that are happening that because of things like Bosasa,
yeah,
that is just filling up the news, and we're not getting to talk about the other issues that we should be talking about.
Yeah. No, you see, I mean, it's fascinating and it's important, but it's a bit of a distraction,
yeah,
because sort of while that's all happening, you get the EWC, you get this proposal. Fortunately, at the moment, it's just a proposal on prescribed assets, which essentially the most obvious one is pension funds, is pensions. And essentially what the government does is require pensions to, pension funds to put a certain percentage of the money they have into SOEs and government entities. And since the country desperately relies on as many people as possible being funded by privately or by some pension fund so that the government doesn't have to take responsibility for everybody, that is hugely worrying. And so, next campaign.
Yeah. Saragon, that is where we leave it this week. Thank you very, very much. Not so bad this week, I have to say.
Yeah. No, we are, We are full of hope. You should see us in the office. We sometimes sort of want to break down and weep, but we get up and we fight the good fight.
Clearly you do, and you do it very, very well. Thank you very, very much. Look forward to speaking to you next week. God bless, Sarah. Bye-bye. Cheers.